At Fort Hood, is diversity in the military suddenly the victim of collateral damage?
Our diversity, not only in our Army, but in our country, is a strength. And as horrific as this tragedy was, if our diversity becomes a casualty, I think that's worse.
The Army Chief of Staff weighs in on the Fort Hood shootings with a defense of the military's famed success with diversity, racial, gender, and religious. But did diversity take a shot from the gun of alleged shooter Nidal Walik Hassan? Diversity in the Stockade on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Monday, November 9th. I'm John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning, John. Coming up on the program today, kids and stress, how kids deal with stress on the base and off. Also, taking a look ahead at the big news with our agenda this week, what you need to keep on your agenda, not least of all, is President Obama's first trip to Asia since arriving at the White House.
But first, as we mentioned, we're going to talk about the challenges of diversity in the military in the wake of the Fort Hood tragedy in just a moment. But Olga Pena is here, editor of the Killeen Daily Herald, the civilian newspaper serving the Fort Hood community. She helped us stay on top of details last Friday morning. Olga, good morning, and what's the update today down there?
Good morning. I think today we're all waiting to hear what happens with the suspect who is finally off a ventilator, but we do not know yet if he has spoken with investigators. Everyone's looking for answers as to why, what triggered this terrible tragedy.
And he is expected to survive. That, of course, is the news that we're certain about over the weekend. But what details are we learning about his sort of demeanor and his background over the last few years?
Well, we're learning about his various transfers and that they were close together, so perhaps there were problems, although the last we heard from right here in Fort Hood is that he did not have any problems that we know of in the hospital as far as behavioral. So we're trying to piece together the pieces as why that day he was handing out his friends, he was handing out the Quran, what really took place in his mind.
Yeah, there seems to be some sort of trigger point that is certainly the focus of investigators. Olga Pena, editor of the Killeen Daily Herald, thanks so much for that update.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to talk continually about Fort Hood this morning, and we're going to begin with a discussion of diversity in the military, that issue that was set up by Army Chief of Staff Casey over the weekend. But first, all the other headlines in the news this morning.
The House passed its long-awaited health care bill on Saturday. President Obama called it historic. In a Sunday news conference, the president urged the Senate to, quote, take the baton and bring this effort to the finish line.
They'll be able to join their House colleagues and say that this was their finest moment in public service. The moment we delivered change we promised to the American people and did something to leave this country stronger than we found it.
Republicans have continued to voice their opposition. Senator Lindsey Graham dismissed the House bill, saying it would destroy private health care. As we've been hearing, more details of the Fort Hood shooting are emerging. Yesterday, Senator Joe Lieberman said he will begin a congressional investigation into the shooting. He wants to know what the signs are that the Army should have spotted about the shooter.
And more than 120 people now confirmed to have died in El Salvador after Hurricane Ida dumped torrential rain on Central America. Ida is the first Atlantic hurricane to target the United States this year. It's moving slowly toward the Gulf Coast and is expected to make landfall tomorrow, but the storm has weakened to a Category 1.
Pennsylvania's governor is declaring Philadelphia's transit strike over. Representatives of the transit system and its largest union signed a deal in the early hours of this morning, ending the strike that shut down the city's subways, busways, and trolleys.
And 20 years ago, this was the scene in Berlin, Germany. Celebrations to mark the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall have begun in Germany today. Wall Street mostly flat on Friday. The Dow opens today at 10,023. The S&P kicks off at 10,069. And the NASDAQ opens at 21,12. So digging deeper into the Fort Hood shooting, we want to start a conversation with you. Is the fact that Nidal Malik Hassan was a Muslim something to mention or ignore in talking about the Fort Hood tragedy? Lots of responses last week. Keep them coming at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Celeste Headlee on this Monday morning, where the community of Fort Hood, Texas, is certainly continuing to deal with the aftermath of the shootings last week.
And will be for a while.
Yes, indeed. And as we talked about this morning, there are more details emerging about the suspect, an American Muslim, something that we're trying to reconcile as whether that's a legitimate issue to talk about this morning. Many of you have weighed in and said, no, it's not. Others have said, please, we need to know more. 877-8-MY-TAKE is a place for you to respond, or my take at thetakeaway.org. But the issue was raised right up front yesterday on Meet the Press when Army Chief of Staff General George Casey, and we played this cut a moment ago, but let's hear it again.
Our diversity, not only in our Army, but in our country, is a strength. And as horrific as this tragedy was, if our diversity becomes a casualty, I think that's worse.
He's referring, of course, to the famed diversity that the Army and the military in general has managed to profess and to have success with.
And it put a lot of effort into achieving.
Right. Certainly with African-Americans.
Yep. Women.
Different issue with the Hispanics. The issue with women has been complicated and
Absolutely.
Very, very difficult for the military. We want to talk about all of it this morning. Joining us now is Sergeant Jamal Badani. He's a first sergeant in the Marine Corps Reserves and the founder of the Association of Patriotic Arab Americans in the Military, and is a Muslim himself. Good morning, Sergeant.
Good morning. How are you?
Also with us is John Allen Williams, professor of political science at Loyola University, Chicago. He's chair and president of the Inter-University Seminar of Armed Forces and Society. He's a retired U.S. Naval Reserve chaplain. Good morning, sir.
Not chaplain, captain.
Captain, excuse me. That's my problem. I read the wrong thing.
Yeah, first sergeant and I know the difference.
So, John Allen Williams, I gather your friends call you Jay. That's what I hear.
They do, yeah.
All right, well, hopefully by the end of this segment, you'll be willing to allow us to call you Jay. But let's begin with Jamal Badani. Sergeant, are there special issues related to diversity regarding religion? And I gather your experience is concerned with the issue of being a Muslim American in the services.
Well, let me tell you about the Association of Patriotic Arab Americans in the Military.
Sure.
You know, Arab Americans, a lot of people think, well, if you're Arab, you're Muslim, and that's not the case.
Right.
Arab Americans are Christian. You have Jewish Arabs, you've got some who don't believe in religion, and of course you have Muslims as well, because Islam began in Saudi Arabia. So I just want to make that clear, that our organization, we have members who are Christian, we have members who are Muslim. We're a non-political, secular organization, so I don't want people to make the mistake to think that our veterans organization is a religious
Sure.
organization. I want to be very clear about that.
Right. I mean, and of course, your urging clarity here is I think, also implicitly, it comes with the idea that there's sensitivity here. I mean, you're worried that the words can be taken incorrectly and the wrong way in this kind of a situation. How are you feeling, a few days after this alleged shooting rampage by Mr. Nidal Malik Hassan, a major psychiatrist in the U.S. Army down at Fort Hood?
Yeah, a friend of mine called me. I was working on Thursday when this happened, and a friend of mine called me and told me about the news. I mean, I'm not even watching the news, and I literally was in rush hour. I live and work in the D.C. area, and as you know, the rush hour is really bad here.
Sure.
And I was getting calls from media. I was getting calls from reporters. Getting calls from community leaders, and I hadn't even seen anything on this. But as I started thinking about it, I'm thinking, man, this is really bad for our community and for our, perception-wise, for Arab Americans who are serving, Muslims who are serving, definitely bad for the community, because since 9/11, what we learned at 9/11 is when the terrorists attacked our country, is we were grieving for our country being attacked, and then not more than 15 minutes later, when reports came out that these individuals were that flew into the towers and attacked our country were of Muslim and Arab background. Then we started receiving backlash and discrimination because of that.
Right.
And well, my family experienced it. My oldest daughter experienced it in school, who, by the way, has blonde hair, blue eyes. It was the first time that she was made to feel different.
Well, Jamal, let's get a comment from Professor Williams. How has the military dealt with this in the years since 9/11? And in general, does the military offer religious services on an ecumenical basis, sort of interfaith, or do they try to serve each individual faith separately.
Well, the military's always had the problem of trying to please the Catholics and the Protestants, and you have different chaplains. There are Jewish chaplains, and there are now Muslim chaplains as well, and they're responsive to the numbers, increasing numbers of proud and patriotic Muslims who are serving in our military now. General Casey has it exactly right. You don't want a backlash on this to cause discrimination against the somewhat 3,000 Muslims who are serving right now in the Army, and including first sergeant's service now in the Marine Corps Reserve.
Although, Jay, that's a tiny number in a huge military, and I wonder if there's a feeling of being a tiny, tiny minority, and what are the specific religious challenges for empowering and protecting members of the Muslim community inside the military?
Well, I think probably First Sergeant can speak better to that than I can. The numbers are what they are, and I would hope that there will be more. But the question that you posed at the top of the hour, whether we should ignore or mention faith in this connection, strikes me as really the wrong question. The question is, faith is going to be discussed. It is going to be thought of by lots of people who hear about this. And the question is, what was the role of this man's particular faith, assuming he did it, in what he did? It doesn't mean that the faith caused it. It certainly doesn't mean that there was a conspiracy. But something happened that turned an Army psychiatrist, apparently, into a killer.
All right. And certainly that's the focus of the investigation. John Allen Williams, professor of political science at Loyola University Chicago, chair and president of the Inter-University Seminar of Armed Forces and Society. He's also a retired U.S. Naval Reserve captain. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
And Sergeant Jamal Badani, do you have anything final to say about that? I mean, you are a tiny minority in the military. Quickly.
Talk about numbers here, because...
Very quickly.
You said they're small. Can you hear me here?
Yes, I can.
Okay. You got to understand, our service and sacrifice to this country began during the Revolutionary War. The first Arab American to die for this country was Private Nathan Bedin on May 26, 1776. He was with the 18th Continental Army out of Massachusetts, died before our independence. 5,000 Muslim Americans served on both sides of the Civil War.
And that's part of the message. It's a long history, Jamal, and a proud history for Americans of Muslim background in the U.S. military. Jamal Badani is a first sergeant in the Marine Corps Reserves and founder of the Association of Patriotic Arab Americans in the Military. Thanks so much to both of you. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in on some of the top news stories we're following.
After a sweeping overhaul of the nation's healthcare system passed the House by 5 votes over the weekend, the intensely partisan battle continues.
Now it falls on the United States Senate to take the baton and bring this effort to the finish line on behalf of the American people. And I'm absolutely confident that they will.
President Obama hopes to have the bill, which marks the largest expansion of health care coverage in 45 years, signed by the end of the year. But Senator Lindsey Graham told CBS Republicans are preparing themselves for a fight.
The House bill is dead on arrival in the Senate. Just look at how it passed. It passed 220 to 215. It passed by 2 votes. You had 39 Democrats vote against the bill.
A major sticking point continues to be the creation of a government health program that's public option that competes with insurers.
Congress is investigating whether the Army missed some red flags before last week's shooting rampage at Fort Hood, Texas, that we were just talking about. There are reports the gunman had justified suicide bombings and promoted Islamic law in conversations with other soldiers in the weeks before the shooting, and we're going to have more on this a little later on in the program. A transit strike that shut down Philadelphia's subways and buses for a week is over now. Representatives of the transit system and its largest union signed a deal in the early hours of the morning, ending the strike that has shut down the city's subways. State of emergency has been declared in Louisiana as Hurricane Ida takes aim at the Gulf Coast.
That's a look at some of the stories we're watching this morning. Coming up, we'll get more details on that health care bill, who voted for it and against.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City.
By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.